One of our most popular segments on Travel Writers Radio is our regular commentator on everything to do with wine, Tyson Stelzer. This time, he's here to talk about the best wine regions for Australians to visit on their overseas travels. He's speaking with Graham Kemlow.
Graham, it's so good to be back on again. Happy Australian New Year, happy Chinese New Year.
Happy every happy New
Christmas.
Year. Any New Year's a good one.
Sure is.
Now, you've been in Champagne and Burgundy. I just wonder how Aussie travellers would feel visiting foreign wineries. And do you reckon there's a chance they might feel a bit daunted? And if there is there a way we can ease any pain for them?
Something about meeting the people behind the things that we love, be it fine furniture or clothes or luxury goods. And I think especially food and wine, and these days there's such an interest in getting behind the scenes, touching the earth where your food is grown, understanding the people and the places, and you start to see not only the regional distinctiveness of the things you love and why they're made the way they are, but you start to understand the personality of the people and the places, and I think it really connects us back with this sort of primordial authenticity of getting back to the simple pleasures in life. And I find that nowhere more profound and compelling than in visiting wine regions. And I love telling the stories of winemakers, as you know, and I love introducing people to great wines, but, you know, there's nothing that I love more than taking little intimate groups of never more than 10 people at a time to Champagne and taking them into the rooms of the tiny growers and the massive luxury houses that we love the most, and introducing them to the people and seeing for themselves and tasting and feeling and touching and really getting down to earth with some of the most amazing estates in the world. I can tell those stories on paper and on the radio 1,000 times. There's nothing like actually descending 106 stairs into the 2,000-year-old cellars of the house of Charles Heidsieck or Tattinger and just breathing in the air that's been flowing through these tunnels for millennia and seeing the wines aging there. That's what it's about for me.
Yeah, I bet it is. But I just wonder if the average punter who is interested in wine here might just feel a little bit intimidated by the fact that they're from the Antipodes and here are these people in France who think they're pretty good and I think in many instances are fabulously good. Would they be afraid to ask a question or seem an idiot? You know what I mean?
It's a good question, and I guess we've all experienced that too. Visiting a cellar door when you're in Melbourne there, as you are if you go for a quick day trip out to the Yarra Valley or wherever, people might feel intimidated by walking into perhaps a wine environment that might be outside of their comfort zone. But I've found these days, and especially in Australia, we're blessed with beautiful family estates and even the big companies running cellar doors with local people who really understand the wines and really understand hospitality. You can really, in the right place, have such an amazing experience, even if you know nothing about wine. But if you take an interest and show that you're there to learn something, even if you don't know much already, and you're not just there to have a drink, then I'm sure you'll find, as I do, that those people serving really engage with that and make it an enjoyable experience and not too intimidating.
Yeah. Look, I wonder if for our people it might help if we were to sort of say, well, if you're a Pinot Noir drinker, a good place to visit to get a comparative taste test, if you like, would be X. Or if you like the big reds, you need to be going to Y. Or, you know, if you're into white wine, try Z region. Can you fill in the gaps?
Yeah, absolutely. So in Australia, the general rule of thumb is if it's a famous region close to a capital city, it is well geared for visitors. So the Yarra Valley, the Barossa Valley, the Hunter Valley, these are places that are well set up because they've got a good population close by and they make great wines and they know how to show great hospitality to visitors. Whether you are a weekend day trip who's never been to a winery before or someone like me who makes pilgrimages as often as they can. Outside of that, I love visiting the regions that are a little bit on the outskirts. They take a little bit longer to get to, but by virtue of that, you are immersed in a rural community that may not have such showy cellar doors, but more than makes up for that tenfold with that beautiful regional hospitality that we love. I love doing that in Coonawarra. I love doing that in the Clare Valley. Margaret River's not really off the beaten track by any means, but has a little bit of that as well, not being quite so close to a big centre.
Sure.
When you transpose that into an international environment, as per your question, it becomes a little bit more complicated. In Australia, regions like Tasmania are so beautifully set up for visitors, and you can visit so many cellar doors, and there's so many good food providers along the way as well too. That is the case in some places overseas, and the same sort of rules can apply as they do in Australia. California is the classic example. It's so close to those big population centres of the west coast of the US that, of course, it's got a beautifully well-orchestrated tourism industry and plenty of places to visit. Europe is different because Europe has been making wine for a lot longer than wine tourism has ever been a thing, and by virtue of that, it's not necessarily as geared into their psyche as what it is here. I say to people, look, if you really want to visit Bordeaux or Burgundy or Champagne or any key region in Europe, there is an advantage in doing research and homework before you go to a greater extent than you would in Australia. You could rock up in the Barossa Valley any day of the year and keep yourself busy for weeks on end visiting as many cellar doors as you could fit into one day without going to the same place twice. Not so in Europe. There is real value in working out where you want to go. Not everything is open to the public. Getting some advice and some recommendations and maybe even some introductions. If you've got a good wine store, you can say, yep, I can give you an introduction here or there.
Yep.
So that you are a little bit better researched.
Well, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Not as well geared to kind of impromptu travel as what we are here.
Right. Okay. So, and that would apply all over Europe or mainly in France?
I mean, there's a wonderful thing about just jumping in a hire car, rolling the roof down, grabbing a baguette and sitting on the road and seeing what you come across.
Right.
And there's a lot of fun in that. I love doing that too. And you'll find some great little wineries and so forth. But to really visit the great places that would rightfully expect an appointment in advance, there is value in doing some research. So particularly in places like Burgundy and Champagne that are not as well geared to having visitors as perhaps a region like Bordeaux, where the estates are a bit bigger and have more of a system whereby they can accommodate English-speaking visitors, I'd say definitely do some research in advance and come up with the right. I get requests all the time, particularly for Champagne, of course, because I spend so much time in Champagne from people who say, look, I'm going at this time, let me know what I can visit. And the shame about Champagne is that there are really only a few houses who are actually open to the public. And it was the whole reason that I started initiating my own tours, because I realised that with me and my relationship with the houses, I could actually create an experience where the guests could actually visit Salon and Krug and have lunch at Louis Roederer and have an amazing experience where we engage with the chef de cave rather than just a kind of front-of-house tourist guide sort of experience.
Well, on that unashamed plug, how can people get the information to maybe come along with you? I do think that would be a great idea, but where's that information available, Tyson?
Yeah, so but people can just contact me directly. If you Google my name, Tyson Sterzer, you'll find me. And I've got some details of my tours at champagnetours.com.au.
Okay, and when do you start those? In the European summer?
Yeah, so we do our tour in September each year because that's harvest and it's always the most exciting time to be on the ground with all the action of grapes buzzing around, so we find the weather's good then too. I've just come back from Champagne now, as we were saying, and it's cold and snowing over there,
which
I love, but probably not quite as romantic for the tourists. So we go in September when the weather's sunny and not too hot, but just right for ripening grapes.
Well, sounds fantastic, Tyson. Thanks again for your advice there, and I think there's some good suggestions, and at the end of the day, if you want to ride in on Tyson's coattails, he's offering you an opportunity to do that. So thanks again, Tyson. We look forward to speaking with you shortly and
my
soon.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Graham. Take care. Look forward to talking wine again sometime soon.
Okay, bye.
Cheers, bye.
listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.